life definitely has its fair share of ups and downs. We deal with the death of loved ones, different illnesses, mental health challenges, and every other struggle in between. But sometimes it's hard to be real and actually talk about this stuff. My name is Alexis Bean, but you can call me Lex. And this is Big Girl Panties Podcast. Here, I chat with both professional experts and other women like me who have their own story about living through grief, trauma, and other tough times, and how they have found a way to put on their big girl panties and thrive. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Bean. In today's episode, we are going to continue our series of conversations that explore women honing in on their own life paths and trying to remain authentic to what it is that they truly want to achieve in life. My guest today is not an artist, but a fellow athlete. Well, she's an athlete, I'm a former athlete, and we both love sports. And although she is sharing a bit of her own personal journey, the primary focus of our conversation is how we can take the insights and inspiration from her expertise and use them within our own goals that we set and achieve in 2024 and beyond. Phoebe Trotman is a heart-centered entrepreneur and accomplished soccer player. She's achieved many accolades as an athlete, including being inducted into several sports halls of fame, winning championship titles, and being recognized as an exceptional athlete. Phoebe has also excelled in her career as a network marketer, earning top awards and recognition within her company. Phoebe recently released her first book in a planned series, Never Quit on a Bad Day, Inspiring Stories of Resilience. Reading it will energize you to overcome your challenges, strengthen you with the tools needed to do so, and invoke your sense of gratitude for your personal journey. Phoebe is passionate about personal growth and empowering others to reach their full potential. I am really looking forward to this chat, and I encourage all listeners to order a copy of Phoebe's book, Never Quit on a Bad Day. And during the episode, just listen in on some of the takeaways that Phoebe shares and choose to apply some of the insights to your own life where it fits. Here's today's episode with Phoebe Trotman. Phoebe, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to Big Girl Panties Podcast.
Thank you so much, Alexis. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while now, so I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. Me too. It's been a bit of time since we initially connected, and I feel like after I politely stalked you online and read a little bit of what you're about, but then after we had our initial conversation last year, I was so excited. So excited. I said to myself, I'm like, I really feel like Phoebe and I connect a bit, not exactly with what we do, but I just think that we parallel, I think, of what our internal messages and what we're trying to do. And so excited to share a bit of what you do, talk with you, and share your mission a little bit with our audience. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you again. And I agree with you. It's like our first conversation right away. I was like, she is awesome. Like, I just felt so comfortable. Like, I've known you for years. So yeah, again, I'm just thrilled and honored to be here.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Sending you love. So this is something that I'm trying to do with this season, but I want to start off the episode with a bit light, something that's a bit lighter. So to begin, can you think back, Phoebe, to a childhood version of yourself? And think and remember, what did you want to be when you grew up? So think to yourself, what did you want to be when you grew up? And do you remember why you wanted to be this particular thing?
Yeah. So I remember growing up, I wanted to either be a doctor or an actress, or it was even a doctor and an actress. Yeah. And it's funny because I knew back then, I was like, I want to be a doctor and I want to work with babies. Like, that was just so a pediatrician, if you will. Yeah. And why? Just because I loved kids back then. I love kids now. And then being a doctor, you get a chance to help people. And that was always something that I enjoyed at a young age. And then the actress piece was mostly because I'm quite dramatic at times. I thought it would be super fun to be able to play other roles. And in my head as a young child, I used to make up roles and just play them. So I thought, hey, why not make a career out of it? So yeah, it's interesting. But those were my two loves way back when.
Oh, I love that. I love those. I can say that I'm similar to you in the sense that I've not that I've always wanted to be an actress, not since childhood, but like secretly I've wanted to be an actress and like be in movies or shows or whatever. But when I think back to my younger self, I wanted to be a marine biologist.
I don't even know
like why I wanted to do that. Like, I'm not good at science at all.
Isn't it interesting? It's so interesting though, and in how life, like, you have this idea way back when, and then you look back and you're like, wow, okay, so there's still some things we're doing in there that are similar.
Fair enough. Okay, so thank you for starting that and sharing that with us. Next question that also goes back to your youth and your childhood. Phoebe, you are a soccer player. So football player, soccer player, and that was your upbringing. Can you please share a little bit about your upbringing and your life and what it was like playing soccer all through your youth?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, soccer, right from the start, I grew up playing. I literally started playing soccer when I was five, and mostly because my older brother played. So my older brother, he's 4 years older. And so I was the little sister that had to go to all his games. And so I said to my parents, basically, I was like, I want to play too. And so it's funny because I don't know if back then they just didn't have girls teams. I don't know if it was supposed to be a co-ed team that I was on. But anyways, I ended up playing on an all boys team. I was the only person of color, a little girl on an all boys team. And I just loved to play. I was used to being around, you know, boys with my older brother, and had some older male cousins who we used to play in the backyard and whatnot. So I was right in there and fell in love with the sport. Eventually, I did get to play on a girls' team. And then I just played right through youth into university, into, I was fortunate to be able to play professional as well, too. And soccer just, it was what I played in the backyard. I mean, back then growing up, it wasn't, you know, a lot of times we just spent playing sports, being outside. And so one of the things that I oftentimes would just have a ball and I'd be there practicing or dribbling, or I'd be playing with my dad or my brother. And so I had a really good upbringing. My parents are very supportive in everything that my brother and I did. And so we played a lot of different sports. And just as I got older, I decided to really focus on soccer. And then that was kind of my vehicle for sport, if you will.
Wow. I love that so much. I related to that in a few ways because one, when I was growing up, my older brother, he also played soccer, football. My brother, so I have three brothers. They all play football in one way or another, but my oldest brother, he took it very seriously. He's captain the Bermuda national team. He played in university, like takes it very seriously. Now his kids play. And so it's a part of the family. But I didn't go that path. I didn't choose that sport. But I love how you shared that this was just a natural part of your upbringing, a natural part of your family dynamic, and how it helped to shape like who you grew up to be and shaped your upbringing and kind of led you on or helped to lead you on a certain path as an adult. So with that said, and I know that we'll come back to this and we'll see how this sport blends with your life today, and also how there are different things within both of our stories, how we kind of are quite similar. But can you share now a bit about your career and where you are today, and kind of just a little bit about who you are? But can you share a bit about how you started your career in network marketing, and also take that time to kind of share with our audience a bit about who you are, Phoebe, where you are from, And a bit about your career.
Yeah, absolutely. So I heard this term and I absolutely love it. It's a multipreneur, because I am an entrepreneur, but I also wear multiple hats in terms of my career and business life, if you will. And so today, what do I do? I mean, as I said, I wear different hats. So I run a soccer program for kids under 3 to under 7. So we can call soccer, we can call football. I'm based up in Vancouver, Canada. And so we often refer to it as soccer, if you will. Yeah, so I run that program with an incredible team of coaches, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, soccer again is what I do, what I know, what I love. And so to be able to coach this young generation and mentor some of our younger coaches as well, it's truly just, it's my passion and I absolutely adore it and love it. And so that's one hat that I wear. The other hat that I wear is as a network marketer. I've built an online business for the last 18 years now. It's hard to believe. It really has gone by quickly. When people say things go by, life goes by quickly, it really does. And so how I got started with that. It's really interesting because I was working full time at a computer company. So out of university, I was working at a computer company, and it was an okay position, if you will. I wasn't loving it. I wasn't growing anymore. I kind of was feeling a little bit bored at my job. And so I started some side projects. I've kind of always been a person who likes to continue to grow and learn and be challenged. And so while I was working full time, I started a few side projects. I started my own coaching company with a teammate of mine. We started learning about real estate investing. And so I was really excited to learn more about that. And so I started investing in some real estate. And then I had also with two friends, we started kind of a Caribbean African community event that was once a month. So I was juggling all these. So I've been a multipreneur, I guess, for a long time, but I was juggling all those balls when I was working full time. And then I found out about a particular network marketing company, and I signed up mostly just to use it as a tool for those other businesses. And then I remember this day, my boss came into my office, sat me down, and because what I was doing was I was basically working my side businesses while I was at my job in pockets of my day. When, you know, I'd ask my boss for a project, he'd give it to me, I'd finish, I'd go to his office and say, okay, what next? And he'd be like, I'll see you in a minute, go back to your office. And so when I had those breaks, I would just work on side projects. And in my mind, I planned to build up those side businesses to a point where income wise, it made sense to transition. And then I would leave my full-time job and I'd build whatever business I was working on at the time. And I say this just to say that sometimes when we have a plan, life or God has other plans for us, because my boss came into my office and he sat me down and he basically said that the company was going bankrupt and everyone was going to be laid off. And so in that moment, if anyone's, you know, listening and you've ever been laid off, you feel like it's kind of a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, on the one hand, I was excited I didn't have to go to work. But on the other hand, I was kind of like, okay, well, what do I do now? And it was in those crossroads that I just sort of pause. And again, I want to encourage people, when you're in a crossroads and you're like, what do I do next? What I sort of did was I looked forward and I went, okay, well, what do I want my life to look like? What is important to me? And I knew there were certain things that I wanted to, one of them being having control of my time. And so I decided, when I kind of evaluated different opportunities of what I could do, and I looked at that network marketing business that I wasn't really planning on building it at the time, but I looked at it and I thought, this is really unique. There's a cool tool. I can build it from anywhere. Let's do this. And so that's kind of how I ended up starting my career more or less as a network marketer and learning. And there were lots of bumps along the way in the beginning, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that I stuck with it because I learned so much and I've just had so many connections and incredible experiences because I chose to build a business online.
Wow. Wow. That's a phenomenal story. And I think the biggest takeaway that sticks out to me is that you started this business, or you started your side projects, and you started building this organically and on the side because it was just something that you wanted to do, something that you were passionate about, something that you wanted to learn about. And in your available time, this is something that you just chose to keep building brick by brick by brick, just when you had the capacity to do so. And you never know what life is going to look like and what life will throw at you. And it turns out that it ended up being providing like the stepping stones for your perfect next steps. Because who knows, if you said to yourself, oh no, I'll just wait to do something like this. Like, oh, I don't want to. Oh, this is silly. What your life would look like if you didn't have like that backup, so to speak, or just something that you were also passionate about. So that's a great takeaway from what you're encouraging people with that story, with that.
Yeah.
Remark.
And I think it is important because you never know, like life does have twists and turns. And so sometimes for me, part of the reason I did start different projects was because I wanted to continue to learn and grow. I wanted to be challenged, and I really wasn't feeling like that was happening at my full-time job. That being said, for people listening in, maybe you are being challenged at your full-time job, yet you still just want something of your own, or, you know, have be prepared, because we never know when things may shift and move. And it's important just to be prepared, right? Just be prepared for some of those changes, those shifts that can happen emotionally, right? Being prepared emotionally for those. And then also, yes, from a financial standpoint, possibly setting up your own business or setting up something on the side in case things shift with your current employment or things change.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even just as simple as reminding people to just have curiosity for for different things. As simple as that. If you're curious about something, you're interested in learning something, who says that you can't? Who says that you can't do that? Who says that you shouldn't do that? Because you never know where that will take you. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Would you say that your career journey thus far has paralleled your journey and your experiences playing sports throughout the years?
Yeah, there's been a lot of life skills that I learned as a soccer player and an athlete definitely has helped me in my journey post soccer, if you will, in the sense that just being resilient at the end of the day, there's a lot of starting as an entrepreneur, if you will, when I wasn't, not that I wasn't ready for it, but I wasn't, it sort of came out of the blue, if you will, that it was like, okay, well, now this is what I'm doing. Because before I had the cushion, I had my full-time job, I had what I was doing there. And now it's like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And so with that, you know, there were times I was frustrated. Absolutely. It wasn't growing as quickly as I would have liked, you know, and that mirrors soccer in terms of like, there was times where I wasn't getting the playing time that I would have wanted. And I had to kind of dig deep and look in the mirror and be like, okay, well, what can I do to deserve to be on the field more? And in my business, what can I do to help my business grow faster? So there's a lot in terms of that with just being adaptable, being flexible, because as an entrepreneur, you have to, that's one skill set, right? You want to be able to adapt to changing environments. And as an athlete, you do need to be really flexible. At one point you might be, you know, I start next moment, you're not, like, you have to really go through the journey of it as an athlete, that, and it does mirror a lot in terms of with my life as a in business, because again, those life skills, time management, accountability, determination, focus, commitment, all those things that you learn as an athlete help as an entrepreneur as well too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, when I wrote that question, I'm like, that's literally my favorite question to ask anyone, that anyone asks me that, because I ran track growing up. So anything that has to do with, I guess, corporate life or adulthood versus your youth and growing up, I guess whenever it comes to conversations that where you're trying to encourage young people, this is always a question that comes up. But there are so many things that parallel sports. And if you grew up playing sports or as an adult playing sports, and how you can relay those same lessons or components and characteristics that you developed into entrepreneurship or just into different aspects of your life as an adult. So I think it's a phenomenal thing to be able to pick up on if you are a person who did play sports. And I think that I knew that you could relate to it, especially with the story that you have. So I just love that question. So with that, Phoebe, again, not a surprise at all, because I'm like, oh, she played sports. Like, she's great. I'm already a fangirl of her. So Phoebe, you are the author of a book. You decided to write a book.
I did.
You are the author of the book, Never Quit on a Bad Day, Inspiring Stories of Resilience. So just the title right there, that's so jam-packed. And that gets people excited. That gets me excited. So what made you decide to write a book? I read in your book, Phoebe, that you said that you were chatting with two friends, and you shared with them that for the last several years, it had been on your heart to create something to help encourage people. So yeah, first question, what made you decide to write a book? Did you know exactly what you wanted to create? When you said to yourself, I want to create something that helps encourage people. And I'll just stop there because I have another follow-up question, but I'll stop there for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, it had been on my heart for several years to create something, just something to help people encourage, because I've been encouraged by so many people and events and workshops and books and podcasts and YouTubes and just in my life. And so I wanted to just do something to give as well too. However, I really didn't know what it was going to look like. I was just open. I was like, you know, I'm open to seeing where that goes. I know that's on my heart. However, let's just see how it evolves, if you will. And that's one thing I always encourage people, be open. Like, just, you know, even when you have a clear mission or vision for what you want to, in terms of your core values, or you feel like you're on this mission to do something, be open, because sometimes it'll take a form that you may not have originally thought. And that's sort of what happened with the book, because I was with some friends and I was sharing with them this, and they're the ones who actually suggested, well, why don't we write a book? Wow. And when they first suggested it, I kind of chuckled, because I've had people in the past who have said, you should write a book. And I always was like, not really. That wasn't what I thought was going to be the vehicle to help and encourage. It really wasn't in terms of a book. That being said, again, I was open. And so they had kind of flipped it on me, because earlier when we were talking that day, I was talking to them about, I was telling them kind of the story of hitting the top rank in my network marketing company, and why I really wanted to do it was just to show people that you can do it too. You can be a woman, you can be a person of color, you can live in another country than where you're business is low, like the home base is. You could be single, you could be all these things, and you can still do it. And so I had shared with them that really was one of my burning desires, to hit it at that time. Yeah. And so they kind of flipped it on me and said, you know, that's the same reason you should write a book, because of people, it'll help and inspire. And so when they shared it that way, I was like, you know what, that's a good point. Okay. You know, but I'm open to it. And the other lesson in this for everyone listening in is, surround yourself with great people, because they can either, you know, add to what you're, they can breathe life into your conversation, or they can completely take you out of that conversation. And these two gentlemen are phenomenal, great friends of mine. And so I said to them, I said, okay, well, I'm open to writing the book. That being said, if I'm going to write a book, it has to do two things. Number one, it has to help and inspire people. Mm-hmm. And number two, I have to feel passionate about what I'm writing about. Yes. And so when I was simmering on it that night, and you asked, like, did I know right away what the book was going to be about? And no, I mean, I was open to the idea. And then that night I was kind of sitting there reflecting and just jotting notes and kind of simmering on this idea of like, okay, do I feel like I should write a book? Like, okay, is this what I should be doing? And the month before, I had been inducted into the Coquitlam Sports Hall of Fame, incredible honor. And so we had an interview, and in that interview, the interviewer asked me, what has sport given me? And I shared some of the stuff we've already talked about, the life lessons. And I've said, I've been fortunate. I've had incredible highs in terms of national championships, a lot of personal awards like MVP and league, you know, player of the league, and different incredible honors that I'm so grateful for. And I said, though, to this interviewer, I said, the only reason I've been able to have all those highs are because of the lows, getting cut from a team, only playing 5 minutes, sometimes not even getting in a game, and all the stuff that's happened over my career and pushing through it is why I've been able to have those highs. And so when I was reflecting on the idea of writing this book, that's when it sort of all came together. And I was like, that's what I want to write a book about. I want to write a book that highlights more of the story behind the story, because so often we look at people and we see this, like, whether it's a VIP lifestyle or we just see all the highs and, you know, everything looks great, but it's like, well, what did they actually do to get there? Like, do we know some of the struggles that they've had or are going through, right? And how did they go, how did they get through those? Did they do something differently? Did they, something they can share? And so then I started getting really excited, because I knew I was passionate about that. I was passionate about sharing stories. I was passionate about helping people, encouraging people, giving people tools and strategies and ideas that they can apply to their own life to help them when they're going through challenges. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I knew the theme of the book. And then with the name, I love the name of the book, because one of my things was like, whether someone picks up the book and reads it or not, just when they hear the title, that saying, never quit on a bad day, I heard that saying many, many years ago. And it's always stuck with me, because it applies to sports, it applies to relationships, it applies to job, like it just applies to everything, right? Yeah. And so I always do this with God. I call it my open the door and close the door. And so once I knew what I wanted the theme of the book to be, then I remembered the saying, and I thought, okay, God, either open the door, if the domain URL neverquitonabadday.com is available, then I know you're saying, yes, this is the idea, move forward, that's the name of the book, walk through the door. Or if I'm not supposed to write a book right now, if the name isn't the right name, then the domain name won't be available, you're closing the door, either I need to reflect a little bit more or find another name, or maybe now's not the right time. And so I was literally just kind of praying that. And I was like, it's probably taken. Like in my head, I was like, well, I put the effort out there, right? Yay. I walked forward. And I came home and I Googled, went to GoDaddy. I put it in and it was available. And I was like, wow. Okay. Okay. God, I guess the idea is from you and this is what you're saying. So let's go forward and do it. And then I just started getting really excited and really nervous at the same time too, because it was something that I'm writing a book is not, wasn't something I ever did. Again, it wasn't something that was on my heart. Like, oh, one day I want to write a book. And I had to go through all those emotions as well too. But I just kept taking one step forward, one step forward, one step forward, one step forward. And now here we are.
Wow. Wow. There were so many nuggets in that. First, leading with surrounding yourself with the right people, surrounding yourself with people who support you, who see things within you, and to encourage you to do great things and also push you out of your comfort zone when they have your best interest at heart. Absolutely love that. And I absolutely love that kind of these friends, they were a catalyst in this book and what this book is today. Because at first you're like, oh, I kind of want to create something. I don't know if it's going to be a book, but they helped encourage you to show like, actually, yes, this is a book. And also the nugget about how where the name came from. As soon as you started to sit and develop the idea of what exactly you wanted to encourage people with, the ideas just became more clear and more clear and more clear, and kind of reinforcing like, yes, this is something that I want to do. Yes, this is right. This is the premise. This is the idea behind it. This is what I'm encouraging people with. And then the name comes to you and it's something that you've literally said a part of your life for years. And it's available just for you. It's ready. So everything like this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. Those are like at my church, we would say sweet surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Called offering a sweet surprise. And it's like, I love those moments where it's just like, this makes sense. And you're like, thank you. Thank you. And it's just, I absolutely love it. It makes the most sense. And it's just a reconfirmation that you are on the right path, that you're doing the right thing. So absolutely love that story.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things where when you look back on it, and as you said, and this is why, again, I just feel like it's so important for people to realize that the people you surround yourself will truly either breathe life into you, or that like they'll push you forward, or they'll hold you back, right? They can be an anchor, or they can be a propeller. Like, and it's just is so important, especially when you're sharing your dreams and sharing things from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful who you share that with, because I could have easily been with another group of people and they might have been like, why would you want, and again, the idea book, but let's say I said, hey, I'm about to write a book. What if they had said like, well, are you sure? Do you know how? All these things that are legitimate questions, right? However, it's, you'll figure out the how, right? Figure out the how. When you have a strong enough why you're doing something, you have a strong enough vision for what you're looking to create, the how, every step. And as you said, every step forward, it was like more clarity, like every step I moved forward. And it went from it not wanting to, not having it on my list of life goals to write a book, to now it's like, okay, it's going to be a book series. And then how the vision that God gave me is just grown and grown and grown through taking those steps forward.
Yeah, absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. So Phoebe, also in the book that you shared that sadly your dad tragically passed from cancer in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that your dad inspired this book at all? What feelings or lessons show up in how you've chosen to show up in your life today? I guess that perhaps were inspired by your dad and his, or lessons that you've learned from his tragic passing.
Yeah. So a few things. I mean, my love for reading definitely through my dad and my mom. So I have a bookshelf you can kind of see. Well,
yeah.
The people listening in, you won't see, but Alexis can see. And then I have another one over here. And some of the personal development books that are on the shelf are books from my dad. So the love of reading, the love of learning, the love of growing has always, definitely come from, I would say, both my parents. Yeah. In terms of actually writing a book, my dad, I could hear my dad cheering me on. I could hear him, because my dad, literally my biggest cheerleader in terms of as a soccer player. And it's funny because I have teammates and people, even people who I never played on the same team, but who played against, and they remember my dad, because my dad, tall man, deep voice from Barbados, so has his Bajan accent. And so I could hear him throughout the whole, from the making the decision. And one thing that my parents always did was they supported us in our dreams and goals. And so I knew once I decided, okay, yes, I'm going to write a book. The domain name's available. Never quit on a bad day. And I'm doing this. I could hear him saying, do it. Go for it. You've got this. Yeah. And every step of the way, even when there were bumps in the road and setbacks and frustration and that, I could hear him and see him being like, keep going, keep going. And so he definitely was with me throughout this writing process for sure. And I'm just inspired in terms of living a full life, right? Even though my dad did pass, he lived a full life. He was very enthusiastic about life and making his presence known in the sense that he would connect with people. He called everybody friend. So yeah. Growing up, one of the things that in terms of just my life, I remember would being with my dad and he'd call someone friend and I'm like, do you know them? And he's like, no. Yeah. And I'm like, well, why are you calling them friend? He's like, because everybody's my friend. And he's just had that attitude, like that positive attitude. And so I've definitely embraced that. I call everybody friend now too. I'm like, hey, friend, hey, friend. Because it was just something that he did. And a lot of how I maneuver through life in terms of an added positive attitude and just connecting with people and being an encourager has come from, yes, my dad and also my mom as well too.
Awesome. That's beautiful. You can tell, that his light, his spirit rests in you and illuminates through you. So that's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
So Phoebe, in the book, there are a number of fellow entrepreneurs and business owners within the network marketing industry and others as well, I'm sure, that contributed to and co-authored this book with you. How were you able to put together these stories of triumph and inspiration and depth, like within all of these stories? How were you able to pull all of that together?
Yeah, great question. So I knew when I decided to write the book, I knew what the theme was going to be, the name. I love stories and I love hearing other people's stories. And so one of the things that I did know right away was that I wanted it to be a collection of stories, because I find that I learn well through other people's stories. And also you can have that diversity in terms of the stories that are told versus it all just being my experience and the story, yeah. My own stories. It's like you're hearing from different other people as well. And so I started making a list, and it's originally the book, because on my heart, I had always wanted to create something to encourage, but I also wanted to create something in that encouragement that would tie in my background as an athlete. And then also, yes, my background, you know, in my life as an entrepreneur. And so originally the book, and I just started writing names of people who I've been inspired by over my life as an athlete, as a person, as a business owner. And that's where when I was writing the list of names, I sort of sat with them. I was like, okay, well, this is either going to be a really big book, or maybe it's more than one book.
Yeah.
And maybe I need to split this. And that's where it's the vision and idea for the series started to percolate, if you will. And so then I decided that the first book would be featuring thriving entrepreneurs. And so with my list, then I started reaching out to, again, all the people in the book have inspired me in some capacity, some from very close relationships, some from a little bit of a further relationship or further in the sense that I didn't know them as well. However, I just was inspired by their story. And then it was just a matter of, you know, having them share. And so it turned out, I mean, again, it's just so grateful to God, because I wasn't sure, you know, I asked certain questions. Everyone had the same questions. How they're going to interpret it. Would it be the same type of story? Yeah. And really all the stories are very, very different. Yes. Some of the entrepreneurs, their bad day was with a hobby. It wasn't necessarily business goal. It was something they were looking to do as a hobby. And they had went through a very challenging experience as well too. And so when the story started to come together, then as I was reading them is where I had the reflections on resilience. I knew I wanted a workbook component to the book as well too. Again, just taking so many things that I love about the books I've read and the experiences I've had. And I know it's so powerful for when a reader can apply what they've learned to their own life. And so I knew I wanted that part. And then in reading the stories, there were certain lessons that jumped out to me that I wanted to highlight for the reader, so the reader could have a chance to kind of reflect on it in their own life as well too.
Yeah. I love that. I really enjoyed, as I was reading the book, just echoing your sentiments that everyone's perspectives were so different, but they blended so beautifully, and you were able to take inspiration, or you were able to take something from everyone's story, although they were so different. So I love the way that was done. Each chapter in the novel shares, or not the novel, but in the book shares different prompts to help the reader reflect on what they just read, as you just mentioned, and how they can use the lessons, so to speak, in their own lives. Do you practice this method in your everyday life? And what tools do you try to use to try and achieve your own goals?
Yeah, great question. So absolutely, everything that is in the reflections on resilience are everyday practices, if you will, for me in terms of perspective. One of them, we talk about perspective and reframing your perspective on certain situations that might have happened. And so that's something that I do all the time in terms of like when I'm going through a situation, I just kind of pause and I'm like, okay, is this how I'm viewing this? Is this helping me? What lesson can I pull from it? And really looking to reflect on events that happen. The other thing, gratitude, you know, one of the chapters, Reflections on Resilience, we talk a lot about gratitude. And because part of it is when I first, many, many years ago, one of the things that I did was in my phone, I put a calendar invite or calendar events, or I should say that every single day at 9, 10 p.m. Pacific, that goes off on my phone. It says, I'm so happy and grateful that. And it just forces me to pause and really just take a moment to be like, what am I grateful for right at this moment? Yeah. And when I first did that, I didn't have, you know, you always hear be grateful. However, I wasn't intentional with my gratitude. Yeah. Now, gratitude, I start my day with moments of gratitude. I end it with moments of gratitude at 9, 10. I just gratitude throughout my day. However, I had to start somewhere. And so that's something I encourage people to do is to put an event in your phone, whatever time of day you think is best for you, that will force you to do that. So absolutely. That's something that I'm doing right now. And then just, you know, there's so many different lessons in the different reflections on resilience in terms of just doing one thing every single day to move you closer to your goals and dreams, right? That's something that is very important to me. I'm very intentional about with my time doing things that are helping me grow, helping me move forward. And so throughout the book, especially those reflections on resilience are stuff or the sections that I wrote that like, with the book, the contributors have their chapter, if you will, and then the reflections on resilience is what I wrote and the beginning and the end. And with that, it was all lessons that I felt that I've applied to my life and I've seen transformation that I wanted to highlight those for the reader as well too.
I love that. And you can tell, like as you're reading the book, you can just tell. Although I asked this question, but you can just tell as you're reading the book, like this is definitely just who Phoebe is. And you're kind of taking us on the journey of the book, right? And the lessons within the book, but you're taking us on the journey a bit. If we can use our imagination, like this is how she got to where she is. These are some of the tools that she uses in her own life. And I love that we have the opportunity to do it alongside you as we read the book. And also, I also love that nugget that you just mentioned about taking that time out of your day-to-day life to verbalize and say to yourself, like, what am I grateful for in this moment? So I'm definitely going to take that and start using that and doing that. I have like two quotes that I have alarms for within my day or two mantras, kind words to myself, manifestations, love notes, whatever you want to call it, that go off. Two different alarms go off during the day, every single day, at different times. I say it, I think it's at like the first one goes up at 9:30 and it says something to like a message to myself. And then the other one goes off at like 11 something. And some days you look at it and you're like, all right, yeah. And then other days you look at it and I'm like, yes, I needed this like kind message to myself. But I love that reminder to state like what it is that you're grateful for. So I'm going to add that one. To put that in my day and make sure I verbalize that. Because people say like, oh, remember to start your day this way. But if you put an intentional reminder, it you literally stop and you have to take a moment to do that. And it's a great practice. So definitely going to take that one.
Awesome. Do it. I mean, for me, it was transformational. All the things that are covered in that book are stuff that I've done and continue to do that has helped me along my journey.
Amazing. So yeah. All those reflection points, everything. So that's amazing. This book, Phoebe, can be used as an inspiration for people that are involved in sports, entrepreneurship, individual careers, and just life in general. That's what I found as I was reading. I wrote down a few of my favorite quotes, which I love to do whenever I read anything. I will, if I'm reading on my iPad, I will highlight. If I'm reading a physical copy, I will jot down the notes like on paper or in my phone. I'll keep it. Just so I can look back and future reference. But in preparing for our chat, I asked myself, within the quotes that I shared and like highlighted to myself, I asked myself, what could I relate each quote to within my own life? So whether it's business, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's sports, whether it's life, like what could I relate it to? So I noted down like a few quotes, and I want listeners to ask themselves what they think of within their own lives when they hear each quote that I'm about to share. So it's like a game, like a activity for us all. So I've just noted down four of them. So I want everyone listening to think of, what do you think of from your own life that you can relate this quote to? Whether you play a sport, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a parent, whether you have a corporate career, so on and so forth. God has an amazing plan for you, and your current circumstances do not determine your future. That quote is from chapter 7 of the book, page 116, and that's from Dave and Roxanne Obisco. Dave and Roxanne Obisco. So think to yourself what that relates to. So when I think of that, God has an amazing plan for you, and your current circumstances do not determine your future. That to me is life in general. That's life in general. And that to me gives me a sense of peace, sense of calm, that I am protected, and that a sense of hope that there's more for me in this life. I'm here for a reason. So that's life in general. The second quote. Oh, do you want to share what you think of for that?
Very similar, very similar. I think it's a quote of hope, and to realize that if you're in a situation right now that isn't where you want to be, that's not permanent. That's temporary, and that there is a brighter future ahead, and tomorrow is a fresh day. And sometimes you got to take it moment by moment. Just know though that your current circumstances, that doesn't determine where you're going to be tomorrow or the next day or a year from now. And so to hold on to that hope, hold on to the belief, and know that bright things are ahead for you.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, the second quote, you need to push yourself hard enough to reach a breaking point, because that's where success is. So that's from chapter 9, page 143. And that is the chapter with Simon Chan. That is easy to me, what that makes me think of. You need to push yourself hard enough to reach a breaking point, because that is where success is. Immediately, I thought of sports. Immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Immediately. It's working hard, right? It's that so many times we think we're working hard, but are we really? Mm-hmm. Just pushing you to that extra, doing that one more sprint, extra push-up, another jumping jack, one more phone call, one more meeting, one more sales call, like whatever it is, are you truly working hard enough? And that's something, because there's so much greatness when you push through that. We often limit ourselves with our own belief of what we're capable of. And if we can remove that and push through that, that's truly where, as Simon's saying, that's where success is. That's where your greatness is pushing through, breaking through that, and doing a little bit more than even you believe you're capable of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to add a more color as a reminder, I'm not saying that Simon shared this quote because he was relating it to sports. This is all advice that can be related to any aspect of your life. So I don't want to take that quote and put it in the wrong context, but what I'm saying is you can literally take that quote and be inspired by any aspect of your life and relate that back to any aspect in your own life. It's just the inspiration that comes from that, the reminder that comes from that you need to push yourself hard enough to reach a breaking point, because that is where success is. For whatever success looks like for you, whatever the success is, pay attention to those breaking points. The next quote. You must continue to believe in yourself, even in the face of adversity. Keep in mind that failure is not the opposite of success, but rather a stepping stone toward it. That quote was shared in chapter 11, page 161, by Phoebe Trotman. Beautiful, beautiful quote. Absolutely love that quote. And to me, that makes me think of a bunch of things. That makes me think of life in general. It makes me think of entrepreneurship. It makes me think of my career. It makes me think of so much. It just makes me think of hope. It just makes me think of trusting yourself. It makes me think of love. And it just makes me, it's just a reminder that you can believe in yourself. You can always continue to believe in yourself. So that's a powerful one for me. Yeah. Yeah. That was a big one. And the last quote that we have here, there are so many quotes. I'm a big quotes person, but the last one that I'm going to share here is, this is a big one too. This one took me for a loop. You think the price to pay is too high for success? Wait till you get the bill for regret. That quote is by Tim Grover, and it was shared in chapter 8, page 131, the story for Scott Popsicle.
Popsicle.
That's close. Okay. We almost got it. That was a big one. That was a big one that Scott chose to share in that chapter. You think the price to pay is too high for success? Wait till you get the bill for regret.
When you just sit with that.
Yeah. Wait till you get the bill for regret. That is a quote that I think should get everyone. So it's like, whatever you have, whatever idea that you're sitting on, whatever passion that you have for something, whatever you're sitting on where you're like unsure about it, or you're like, oh, I could do this, but I just won't. I want to do this, but I just won't. I love this, but I'm just not gonna do more. I want to reach out for this, but I'm just not. Do you want to live your life regretting not trying something, or do you want to go for it? Do you want to go for it? So I absolutely love that quote, and I relate that back to entrepreneurship, to sports, to everything, but life in general, absolutely, for sure. And I think that I listen, or I resonate with that a lot more too, just because I'm familiar with people passing, and I'm familiar with what it's like for people to lose their life. Mm-hmm. And to understand the transition of life. I shouldn't even just say lose their life, but the transition of life, that are the reminder that we do not live forever. Mm-hmm. This life is a gift. So while we're here, my goodness, you think the price to pay is too high for success? Wait till you get the bill for regret. I don't want to regret anything. Mm-hmm. And that's not a fear tactic. It's to say, like, while you're here, why not try? Mm-hmm. Why not try? Because I don't want to get that bill for regret. My goodness. Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely. So I absolutely love those quotes. Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's interesting because as I was like listening to you share, and if you look at like the one where I share about failure is a stepping stone to success, it's not like they're not on opposite ends. And then the bill for regret, it's like, yeah, just go for it. Because part of going for it, even if it turns out to be a quote unquote failure and whatever that means or looks like for someone else, you're learning as you go. And isn't it worth it to just give it a go and say, you know what, that didn't work, versus sitting there and wondering, oh, I wonder if it would have worked. Yeah. And having that unknowing, like that's part of it where, you know, as I think about just my journey, there's been lots of bumps and things that weren't wins, if you will. I don't see them as a failure. I just see it as literally, it helped me move forward closer to where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to learn, the person I'm supposed to grow into. Exactly. And I just encourage people, like it is literally everything you do is a stepping stone to the next. And when you really have that perspective, it's incredible what you can accomplish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely resonate with that. With that said, do you have any favorite quotes from the book? I know you're probably like every single quote, and that's why it's in the book.
Yeah, there's a lot. There are a lot of notable sentences, quotes, mantras, if you will. One of my favorite ones, though, is getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because that's sort of been a philosophy for me, if you will, where I've had to learn to embrace that feeling of being uncomfortable. And there's another quote I do share, that life begins at the edge of your comfort zone, by Neil Donald Walsh, or the end of your comfort zone, because everything new is outside of your comfort zone. So there's going to be a level of uncomfortableness, if you will. And that just means you're growing. I was very uncomfortable writing a book, like really being like, oh, wow, I'm doing this. This is happening. I was very uncomfortable. However, I've learned to embrace that uncomfortableness, because that's part of how you're going to progress. That's part of moving forward. So that would definitely be something, another thing that I encourage people listening in, just start getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And it doesn't mean you have to do something. Like if you're scared and nervous about standing in front of a group and speaking, it doesn't mean you're going to book out, be in an arena with thousands of people. That's going to be the first. Maybe the first step is just standing up in a room of family members and saying something. And then, okay, great, I can do that. Now the next thing, maybe a class presentation. Okay, great, I can do that. And you're going to continue to step outside of it a little bit and a little bit more. And then when you look back, you're like, wow, I did that. Look at how far I've been able to come in terms of growing and expanding that comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Second part to that, what, I have an idea in my mind, but what would you say is like your favorite part of the book?
Favorite part of the book? Great question. I'm going to say two parts, because two things that do make it a bit unique. The reflections on resilience.
I
love that part because the feedback I've received from people with how the reflections on resilience has truly helped them, that inspires me so much.
Yes.
And the reason I like the reflections on resilience is because I feel like it simplifies. So you're reading the story and when you're reading a story, you're hearing about it from someone else's perspective and what they went through, and you're feeling inspired, and then you have this chance, and then you finish the story, and then you're with your own pen, hopefully, or pencil or whatever, and now you're reflecting on your own life. And that, to me, that is so powerful, because that's the part that's going to move someone forward. When they have a chance to pause and be like, wow, I've done some stuff. I have something to be, I'm proud of myself because I overcame this, or I'm proud of myself because this is my dream and I've taken steps forward, or whatever it is. So I love the reflection of the resilience, because to me, that's like the tangible, here's what you can apply to your own life going forward to help you. And then I do like, so there's also a QR code at the end of every chapter that reader can scan over. And it actually is a video of encouragement by the contributor. And it's unique in the sense that I just told the contributor, hey, you share in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, something that's on your heart that you want the reader to take away. And so it was neat because it gives it a chance for the book to really come to life. You can see the person in video sharing a message that they thought was something you needed to hear, and all the, and so that part I love as well too, because it really does bring the book to life as well. And you get a chance to hear and see the person who you just read a story from them. And there's great lessons in those videos as well too, that a reader can take to elevate their experience with the book as well.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That addition really makes it unique, makes it intimate, and makes it feel like we're going through this experience together with the reader and the author together. So it is perfect. I absolutely love that. Those are great. In saying all of that, where can listeners buy Never Quit on a Bad Day? Where can listeners buy the book? And what can people look forward to in 2024 with your book and connecting with you and your community?
Absolutely. So yeah, the book is available on Amazon and other online book retailers. Easiest one is Amazon, really and truly. So you can go to Amazon, you can grab the book there. In terms of what you can expect in 2024, well, I have started the next book in the series, and that I'm very excited about. Yeah, it's coming along very nicely. So that you can expect the next book in the Never Quit on a Bad Day series coming sometime in 2024. Okay. And the community. Yeah. So on social media, Facebook, Instagram, handle. That's what I was like. Yeah. It's not hashtag. Instagram handle is just super simple. Never Quit on a Bad Day. So, and I love to hear from people. I love to hear how the book has inspired them, the feelings that they got out of reading the book, the action that they've taken. And so please, like when you read the book, share your feedback, because that is inspiring in itself. And even if even if someone doesn't get the book, just what do you feel when you hear the saying, never quit on a bad day? And how can you apply that to your life? Because the more that saying gets out there, the more it'll inspire people to just keep pushing forward. And that creates a huge ripple of positivity, of inspiration, and inspires other people to go after their dreams as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's Never Quit on a Bad Day. That's on Instagram, Facebook, and that's also the handle for your website, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So sharing that to the listeners now, but I'm also going to put that in the show notes of our episode so that people can look back at that. But Never Quit on a Bad Day on Instagram, Facebook, and the website, neverquitonabadday.com. So Phoebe, thank you so much for this conversation. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. As you shared at the beginning, I feel super connected to you, and I feel like we've been besties for a long time. So I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I want to thank you again for coming on the podcast. I think there are so many rich nuggets in here and notes of inspiration that we can take away to help us and encourage us with our year ahead in 2024 and going forward. So thank you again. But bringing our episode back to a similar question, that the question that I kind of started with at the start of our conversation, but who or what do you want to be in 2024? What would you say? Who would you want to be in 2024?
More of me, in the sense of just doing more, helping more people, inspiring more people, encouraging more people to go after their dreams, whether it's because they see that even though I have some tough stuff that I'm dealing with and navigating right now, I still choose to show up with a smile. I still choose to encourage other people. I still choose to find moments of joy. And so just more of that. I'm really excited for this next book because I've learned so much in writing the first one and I've grown as a person since the first one. And so there's going to be more of that. So just really leveling up in as much as I can through taking it to the next level.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you, Phoebe. This has been great, as I said. And so last question, as we bring the episode to a close, what does putting on your big girl panties mean to you? And what does that look like in your life?
I absolutely love the name of this podcast. Like, big girl panty, it just is. So this question is so great. What does that look like to me? Or what do I feel like? Here's, at the end of the day, there are days where we wake up just in general, or I'll say I. There are days I wake up and I'm tired. I'm frustrated. Maybe things didn't go, or moments throughout my day, I should say. Typically, I wake up and I'm joyful. That being said, there's moments throughout the day that I don't feel as, that I'm frustrated, right? We're human beings. We go through those emotions. And when I think of the saying of like putting your big girl panties on, to me, it just means like suiting up for the day. Like there's going to be days where you just feel strong and you feel great. And it's like, yes, I got this. And there's going to be times where you're feeling tired and frustrated and maybe a little bit emotionally down. Those are the days when it's like, okay, I'm going to put my big girl panties on. I'm going to suit up. I'm going to take the person and the energy and the person I know I am. And I'm literally putting on the panties. And sometimes you might have to like actually visualize yourself putting it on to face what you're going through. And that's sort of how I see it, is like, because not every day is going to be a 10 plus day, but we can choose to make it a 10 plus day. Put on those big girl panties. Know that you can do it. You've been through tough stuff before and you can go through tough stuff and grow through tough stuff again.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that so much. And I think that your response and the way that you feel about that question is reflective in your life, reflective in the book. I think it's a reflection of who you are. So I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you. My pleasure. And I've thought of it because I do, like, again, the big girl panties from the moment I saw that, because there are tough stuff that I'm navigating right now. And I do have to, those days where it's like, okay, I'm putting on my, let's go. I got this. I'm like, yes, I'm tired, but let's go. We got this. Yeah. Right. So again, I just want to encourage people. We can choose. Life is a choice. Right. And everybody has tough stuff. It's just, are you going to choose to show up with a smile throughout it? Because that's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you so much, Phoebe. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure. It's always lovely to connect with you. So I love what you're doing and how you're taking your life, your experiences, everything that you've gone through and had to go through, and sharing it to help other people. And that is so inspiring. So just keep doing what you're doing. I absolutely
thank
it's
you.
Fabulous. And you're impacting people in a very positive way.
Thank you so much. I hope so. Just trying to do a few things one moment at a time, one episode at a time, one conversation, interaction at a time. So hopefully it resonates, but I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.